Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome, friends, to the most inconsistent podcast that you subscribe to. Thank you for still being subscribed in the vague hope that at some point in the deepest, darkest corners of time and multi-dimensions that a new episode will appear. And you know what? That hope today has come to fruition. Welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast. Whoa, I just popped through this pop shield with that one. As the sun is shining through my window, which is very beautiful. The sky is very, very blue, which is lovely. I hope you guys are feeling present in the present moment. I know it's very difficult to do, not just with everything going on currently in the world and all the heartbreaking things that are happening in the world, but also within yourself. And I hope you're taking a moment for yourself today as you hear this. And you know what I'm going to say? You know what I'm going to say if you're a regular listener, if you're one of my multi-dimensional subscribers, I'm going to say make sure you eat something delicious today and munch it up. Anyway, look at that tangent. Look at that tangent. I have a very dear friend of mine on today's episode, someone who is a returning guest. Oh, you know, I love those. Star of the incredible horror film Barbarian, as well as my favorite episode of Black Mirror, Hang the DJ, Georgina Campbell. Fantastic actor. So, you know, we talk a lot, as you can probably tell from my very, you know, rambly intro. We talk a lot about therapy and mental health. Something that I am on my own continued journey with. So if any of that might be triggering or it's not the right zone for you to hear, you know, feel free to listen to something else and come back when you're feeling strong and ready to listen. But that comes in about halfway through. But other than that, we're doing a chit chat. We talk about Liam Neeson. You know, I had questions about Liam Neeson. And there's some interesting things that come out. So, you know, I'm excited for you to hear that. It's episode 49, so the next one's going to be episode 50. Who knows what's going to happen? I started this in 2016, so over the past 8 years, I've only done 49 episodes, but, you know, I've had some wonderful people, so we're going to see what happens next. Anyway, that's enough of my ramble. I've got a new single out called Protect My, and it's out now on Spotify and everything. Enjoy this episode, guys. Have a lovely day.
Okay. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4,
that's great.
3,
you're so good at counting. You're so good at counting. This is great.
Okay. All right. We're in. I'm leaning at such a strange angle. I feel like I'm...
yeah. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I feel like I'm a gazelle or something, yeah. Like in a savannah, peering up at like a lion. Sorry, just like
yeah, it's interesting.
Being bothered in whilst grazing, I think.
Hello.
How is it going?
Good. How are you? This is going to be awkward now the
it's
whole
so
time you hunched
just
over.
It's going to be a matter of minutes till I sit on the floor.
Okay,
I'll be honest with you.
Probably.
It's probably going to be so much better for everyone involved. I'm going to just do it now.
Yeah, maybe. Do you need a pillow or something?
Maybe eventually.
Yeah.
But is this even weirder? Because I'm sat on the
fine.
Floor. You sure?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like
you're
we're
a little
in
kid.
School?
Yeah.
And this is like story time.
Yes.
And I'm sat on the floor and you're like,
I like
okay,
it.
Corinne, look, can you stop with the juice box?
Yeah.
And just pay attention to, wait, what was a good children's book that you enjoyed at school?
My God, I can't really remember one at school. I remember my mum used to read Winnie the Witch, which no one knows about.
What's Winnie the Witch?
It's like a witch that lives in a house and has a broom. Surprise, surprise.
Whoa.
And a little black cat.
Oh my God.
I remember that being good.
This is like serious witch behaviour.
Yes.
She started young. What does she do? Does she do any witch stuff?
I can't remember. This was when I was like five.
Yeah.
But she, you know, whizzed around on a broom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, good. So you're reading me Winnie the Witch.
Yeah.
And I'm sat on the floor. Yeah, I mean, I remember Not Now Bernard was my favourite.
Was that a dog?
No, it was actually quite kind of scary because it was like, I guess it's a play on the classic trope of, you know, the boy that cried wolf, right?
Okay.
So it's like this kid being like, there's a monster in my cupboard. And the dad's like, come on, not now, Bernard. Like, stop fucking beefing me. I'm trying to like watch football or whatever. and then he just keeps coming back with new stuff. And then it turns out there is a monster in the cupboard.
Right.
Yeah.
And does he get eaten? Because his parents don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Did your parents give this book to you?
Yeah.
As a warning?
Not now.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. Yeah. So that's basically, thanks for the therapy session. That's what, that's what's affected my whole life. No one believing me. But yeah, no, that and Hungry Caterpillar, obviously.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. Which is, you know, to blame for my love of buffets.
I think.
You know,
you're looking pretty good at the moment, actually.
Thanks.
You're looking quite slim.
Thank you.
After Christmas.
It's anxiety.
How?
I just don't eat.
Yeah.
I'm just too anxious.
That's
all
sad.
The time.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. It's great, though. Thanks. I'll take it. I fit into trousers I didn't know existed. So that's really good.
That's lovely.
Anyway, talk to me about you, please. How long have you been back in town for? Because we are in Los Angeles, of course, for reference.
Yes. I've been back since Christmas-ish.
Okay,
I don't know how long. January is kind of like an abyss.
Yeah,
really you don't really know what day it is, how long it's been. It feels like it's been like 5 months since Christmas, but I suppose it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah. Are you a Christmassy person?
I do like Christmas. I like the build up to it.
Yeah.
I like all the decorations. Mm. I like sparkly lights. I like buying presents for people. Mm. But then Christmas Day is always a letdown.
Yeah.
So it's miserable.
Yeah. Why is it so miserable?
Because you have to hang out with all your family and everyone's kind of got their issues.
That's why I avoided Christmas. And I was just here with my
mates.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
What did you do for Christmas dinner?
I just went to my mate's house and he made pies. He's
made
British.
Pies.
My mate Jason, he made pies.
Okay.
And loads of people just came and went all throughout the day. And
that sounds nice.
I took mushrooms and then like just sat around the table and it's like having far too intense conversations with people until I realised how high I was. Yeah. So
Christmas with pies and mushrooms
and highs,
sounds quite nice,
I
actually.
I know, right? Pies
yeah.
and highs. but yeah, so I know there's stuff you can't talk about per se,
mm-hmm.
but can you give us a little sliver of what mm-hmm. the last project was? That you were shooting?
Yes, I did a film called The Watchers, which we shot in Ireland, and it was Ishana Shyamalan, who's M. Night's daughter, who's
just poured tea all over myself in excitement. Just so you know, no one's fine. The guys out there can't see.
Yeah, it was very exciting. It was like I was on another job when my meeting came through. My agents were like, "Do you want to meet with Ishana and chat with her?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And
yeah.
They sent me some of her work because she's been, obviously her dad, you know, is a massive director, but she's been doing her own thing and doing shorts and kind of, you know, went to NYU and studied, and I watched some of her stuff and it was really amazing.
And all in the horror kind of realm as well? Is that what she's into?
Yeah, she's into, it seems like, kind of suspense, thriller, her dad, but different at the same time, like different generations. She's really young. I think she's like 23.
Mm.
So she's like very different generation doing her own thing.
Yeah.
But I did the meeting. She was so lovely. I really honestly didn't think I'd get the job.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it'll be a nice meeting. Yeah. It'll be fine. And the film is based on a book. And I read the book, and the character that I was going up for in the book is, she's like very pale. She's Caucasian. She has like red hair. And I was like, I'm never going to get this. Like they say she looks like a doll, all this stuff. And in my mind, I was like, I just don't think I'm going to get this casting.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's the book. They'll want to stay close to it. But then I got it. I was like, okay.
That's dope.
So I was doing that.
And what part of Ireland were you in?
We were in the south of Ireland, so we were in Ireland.
Okay.
And we were near Dublin.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Great.
Not far from Dublin.
Beautiful. Did you get to travel around kind of a little bit and see a bit of Ireland?
A little bit, but it was quite full on, so not that much. It was really cool. It did rain a lot,
yeah,
and we were out in the woods a lot, which I think is as much as I can probably say.
That's
we were
right.
in the woods a lot.
Oh my God, the woods in the woods. Shetland film?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it rained a lot, and we were doing lots of night shoots, so it was quite full on.
So obviously last year was a very big, exciting year. It bled into last year.
Yeah, what, Barbarian?
Yeah, with Barbarian.
Well, that came out...
tail end of
it came out like around Halloween 2022. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah, it was a real post 9/11 film. That
2022. Like. Yeah. Okay. And then I think it had a bit of a kind of revival on when it came on like
HBO.
And I don't have TikTok, so I didn't know that apparently people will watch movies or they'll show a part of a movie while they're doing something completely different. So they'll be like chopping up a cucumber or doing their makeup or doing DIY.
Yeah.
But in the background or like half screen, they'll be showing scenes from Barbarian.
Are they reacting to the scenes?
I don't know. I need to maybe look one up. Apparently this was the thing that was happening. Someone was talking to me about it. I didn't see it, but so that maybe helped.
Great. It's a cool trend, and also again a representation of the way that we consume media in general, right? And how it's so difficult, unless I'm in a cinema, that's fine, but it's so difficult for me to sit down and just consume a movie or TV show, even if it's my favorite thing.
Really?
Because my concentration is just so
is it? I can sit and watch for hours.
Oh, that's nice, man.
Just like a slug.
Oh, that's great.
On the sofa.
What?
Yep.
Oh, I need that. That's such a skill.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
What?
Just sit and watch something.
How'd you turn your brain off?
You don't have to do anything. Obviously, I can turn it off easily. Sometimes... maybe it's not doing anything anyway.
See, I just sit there with phone on, laptop on, TV on.
Yeah. That's your
half
problem.
Half writing something, half texting, half trying to like watch a really detailed documentary on volcanoes.
Yeah.
And not
too many things going on.
It's too many things.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But yeah, so obviously Barbarian was, you know, fantastic and terrifying and it scared the shit out of me. But, you know, thanks. People loved that film.
Mm.
Like people adored that film. So that must be such a like, I know we're not good at accepting praise, but it still must be such a lovely feeling that people still come back to it and say really lovely things about it.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. It's like, I think when I read the script, I really, really loved it. And it's just, it's nice when that's reciprocated because that doesn't happen often. Like you do projects, you do things and you love it and then it comes out and people don't, or it's not really, you know, it just doesn't hit at the right time or whatever. So it's very nice that people like it and I love it. So,
And do you ever watch stuff back?
I do sometimes. Like I've watched Barbarian like a million times because I went to so many screenings for
it.
And then I went to see it in the cinema with my friends because I was like, I'm in a film. Yeah. It's in the cinema. Like, I want to buy the ticket stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Then I went to see it with my mom and we did the same thing. And it was so funny because there was probably like five people in the cinema. And my mom was like, imagine if they knew you're sat right here. It's like, it'd probably be very underwhelming and confusing to these like four other people that are just minding their own business.
I think they would have loved it. I think they would have loved it, but also probably been quite terrified.
Yeah, probably just been a bit like, that's sad, isn't it?
No, no, not
she got
sad.
Nothing better to do on a Saturday night.
Everyone goes to see their own movies. Everyone.
I don't
like Tarantino.
Know. Some people don't. But I also like seeing how everything came together, because you don't get to see everything. You're not in every scene, or, you know, maybe sometimes you are, but you still want to see the way it's been crafted, the way it's been edited, the music that they're using. Like, I think the whole thing is such a big process that so many people are involved in that it would be a shame if you're, you know, it makes you vulnerable watching yourself, and yeah. it can be difficult, and it would be a shame if that got in the way of yeah. you at least being able to kind of see the full product
yeah,
and
for
see
sure.
what you worked on for yeah. months yeah. or maybe years.
Yeah, exactly. And also it's good to celebrate yourself. I mean, people that just can't ever watch themselves.
I know. It's just difficult. Sad. I think it's like you do go in and you are like, oh, I should have done that different, or I should have done that different, yeah. or that looks shit, or I'm not sure about that. But,
yeah. but no one notices those things. You notice.
Not many
that.
People do. Sometimes they do. Sometimes if it's really bad, they do. Also, that's a kind of good way of learning, of being able to watch
Definitely.
Yourself and go, well, maybe I need to do that less because that seems to be my crutch that right. I'm leaning on
yeah.
a lot, and you can notice it, but maybe other people won't.
We all do those things.
Yeah, it's
we
true.
We all do the little like twitch, face twitch. Or
yeah,
like,
single tear.
Yeah, right. And that's fine. But if you go back and, you know, I've been watching a lot of movies that I thought was like classics
mm-hmm.
that I loved, and watching them again, you know, I just realized that actually maybe they are flawed in so many ways, and they are, yeah. there are mistakes, and there are, you know, bad actors and like
yeah.
really weird scripts that make no sense.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
but we forget
that. Love it.
We still love them, but we, you know, I rewatched Lost in Translation recently,
oh,
which
yeah,
was one of my favorite films of all time. And I watched it and I was like, I don't know if I like this anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, now I want to rewatch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, have a rewatch. Cause like now you kind of reframe it. Like when I was watching it, Scarlett Johansson was like the older woman to me.
Oh yeah,
or she
of course.
Was at least my age.
Yeah,
like, and so I was like, oh, she's so beautiful, and like, you know, I can really the ennui of her character. I can really like understand that she's on her own, and it's mm-hmm. so cool. And like Bill Murray's so funny, and like da 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 da. And now I'm older. I'm like, who is this old man?
Yeah,
chirps in a young woman that's clearly very depressed.
I mean, probably most classic Hollywood films.
That's
same.
Every classic Hollywood
yeah,
film.
Yeah, who's this old man with this
yeah.
really young woman?
I know. I just felt really weird about it. I was like, this,
yeah, that makes sense.
This film is strange. I mean, yeah. It's just weird that, you know, things change
yeah.
in time.
It's true.
Is there any films that you've watched recently that you kind of gone, this doesn't have the same glow to it?
Oh my God, I'm trying to think if I've watched anything. I feel like I've been watching loads of new stuff because it's been the like
yeah.
awards season. So it's yeah. been all the like BAFTA films and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know if I can think
Which
of anything.
Which I won't
I've
ask
seen
you
recently.
For personal opinions on new films because it is our industry. But
oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've watched some new films recently, and I'll tell you off the record later. I haven't been impressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm not going to say what because I might work with them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Have you seen Poor Things?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah.
I loved it. Do we need to move on to the next question?
Yeah, maybe. No, I think that was one thing I will say about Poor Things is it is very beautifully shot.
Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
Very beautifully shot.
And Emma Stone is amazing in
she's
it.
She's really,
so
really good.
So funny. Yeah, no, I loved
she's
it. I really, really loved it.
She's an incredible actor for sure.
Yeah, like, but it is quite out there. It's an out there
yeah,
film
yeah.
for like a kind of box office, like
yeah.
blockbuster timing, like
That's
near
right.
Christmas.
Also, it's... films are too long, and this is a generalized comment.
There is
but
a lot
films
of long
are
films.
Too long in general.
Yeah.
And I think I just really like a film that's like an hour 20. No,
yeah.
an hour, yeah, an hour 20. That's
an hour
right.
20,
yeah.
hour and a half. Yeah.
yeah, something like that.
It is quite like, it's lovely when you find those movies now because
yeah.
they're so, it's rare that you find a nice, short, good movie.
Brilliant, yeah.
yeah.
I watched Dream Scenario with the Nick
oh,
Cage
yes.
and he
Me
did
too.
A, he did like a, he came and did a Q&A afterwards. That was crazy
oh,
because Nick Cage is a legend.
Yeah.
I guess I can say it was like, the first two thirds of it,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I'm going on my letterbox. I'm rating this film 4 out of 5. This
mm-hmm.
is so good.
Yeah.
And then the final third, I was like, oh man. So it lost a bit of its steam.
I know. It's hard though. I feel like films, normally the third act is like the hardest part
yeah.
to really sink landing. I feel like a lot of the time it yeah. starts wavering there. So
yeah.
I feel like two thirds of a film is still good. If they've got you two thirds of the way, that's enough.
So I should have just left two thirds.
No, you should still watch the last bit. But I mean, if you like two thirds of it, then really
yeah.
you liked the film.
Whoa.
In my mind.
That's controversial. That is controversial.
I've decided.
Whoa,
yeah.
this is official. This
yeah.
is your official decision. See, I don't know because I change ratings. In my head, because do you do Letterboxd? It's a real good
I have Letterboxd. I don't know how to use it properly. I only got it like a week ago. It's such a grandma. But I was like, ooh, this sounds interesting.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I keep forgetting to use it, but
yeah.
I do have it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's really good I need to change my name on there so that I'm anonymous.
Okay. Do you write little things?
No, no, no reviews. I just do star ratings.
Okay.
And then the star ratings can be bad. Like, yeah, I'm giving like half stars.
Oh.
Yeah, real harsh
that's mean.
Stuff. Yeah, real mean stuff. Because to me, it's a journal entry for me.
Yeah.
Like, let me remember what I felt about that film. Sometimes I go back and change them. Yeah. You know, someone my friend was had a real go at me because she looked over my my letterboxed ratings and I'd obviously rated Lord of the Rings the first one, Fellowship of the Ring, I've given it 4 stars, great film.
Yeah.
Two Towers, 4 stars, classic film.
Okay, yeah.
Return of the King, 2 stars.
2 stars. I can't really remember the last one, so maybe it does deserve 2 stars.
Yeah, it was beefy. It was a beefy situation.
So, she wasn't happy about that.
No.
So,
what do you mean? Two stars?
Did you change it?
I think maybe to like 3.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going to watch Harry Potter for the first time at some point soon.
I can't believe you haven't seen Harry Potter. That's just ridiculous and so un-British of you.
I know. How dare you? You're a big Potterhead, right?
I love Harry Potter. Yeah. Loved the books.
I feel like you should be in it or in some way.
Don't. I would love to. They're doing the new series of it, apparently. Yeah. And I don't know what's going on with the casting there, but I was like, I'd love to be in it.
Oh, you'd be perfect for that.
But I don't know. I would love to. I'd love to be. I mean, especially in the Harry Potter movies, like there's just so many British actors that are in all of them.
I kept spotting people that I went to school with in a background or something.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
in
the clips that I've seen of the first one.
Yeah.
And I saw one at Christmas once. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, fact
so
checkers.
You've seen a few.
All right, fact checkers. What's your favorite one, and like which one am I looking forward to the most?
My favorite one is the 6th one, which is the Half-Blood Prince.
Right.
And it's very dark.
Spoilers.
Yes. It's very dark. What a spoiler.
Ruining it.
No, I love that one. And I love that book. And they're just such cozy movies. I feel like every Christmas, you kind of put on a Potter movie. Watch the whole Potters. It's great.
Oh, so you do them all?
Yeah. Up to Christmas.
It's like 16 of them.
There's 7 of them. Okay. Not in one night. Like over a couple of weeks, weeks,
yeah.
When I don't have anything to do.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And I just played the Harry Potter game, Hogwarts Legacy, which I'm obsessed with as well.
And you fulfill your Winnie the Witch dreams.
Yeah, there you go. It all started somewhere. Nice callback.
And you ride around on a broom.
You can ride around a hippogriff. Look, I could talk about this for days, and it's not going to interest anyone.
I mean, there's people out there.
It's great. I've played it twice from beginning to end.
How many hours gameplay is that? Do we know? Are you embarrassed?
I don't know. It's a lot.
I'll make you feel better, right? I'm not a big gamer, but I'm a big Zelda guy.
Okay, yeah.
And so I played Breath of the Wild on the Switch, and then I sold the Switch straight afterwards because I was like, nothing is going to be as good as this.
Yeah.
And then this year, Tears of the Kingdom, the new Zelda came out, and I bought a Switch again.
Oh my God.
And bought Tears of the Kingdom, played it for 250 hours.
Whoa.
And then sold the Switch.
So you're just going to buy another Switch next year when the next one comes out?
Yeah, I think there's a few year gap, which is good.
Okay.
Which is good. But I was absorbed in that game. One of my friends worked out and he was like, I think you've spent 25% of your waking hours playing Zelda.
Yeah, it's very addicting games. I tend not to look at how many hours I've played because I don't need that guilt. I don't need to feel bad about that.
Is it good for anxiety? Because I know we will be talking about anxiety today.
Mm-hmm.
But is it does gaming help with feeling present or at least relief?
It does, but I think it's like a slippery slope because I think gaming's like a really good thing to use when your mind is racing or you're worried about something because you can't really think about anything else because you're like in the game, you're like strategizing, you're thinking about I've got to get there, I've got to get this point. So your brain is just completely involved in that. Yeah. But the problem is that you can start playing too much. And then, I mean, like I went and saw my therapist a few weeks ago and I was kind of feeling a bit low and she was like, what do your days look like at the moment? And I was like, she's like, just be honest, like it's fine, don't worry. And I was like, okay, well, I might go to CrossFit in the morning.
Great. That's
right.
Yeah.
She was like, great.
Good stuff.
I was like, and then I'll get back. And then maybe I'll like, I guess maybe I'll watch TV for a bit. And then maybe I'll like read a book.
Also
and then
good.
Maybe I'll play my PlayStation for a while. And yeah. she was like, okay. So she was like, that sounds like a good recipe for depression. I was expecting her to be like, oh, great. Like, you know, when people are like, oh, I wish I had that time on my hands that you could just fuck around and play games and blah, blah, blah. Exactly. Yeah. But it was so interesting that she was like, yeah, that sounds like you're going to get depression. Wow. So
I wonder if where she's coming from is to do with purpose, right? Purpose is such a big thing, and having a project to work on, because you work so hard when you're shooting and when you're reading and rehearsing and you're doing, you know, all the prep for the film. That's such an intense an intense time for you.
Yeah.
That, like, it's kind of okay maybe for you to be resting your brain. Like, you know, we're not fucking dairy cows.
No, it's true. But I think it's also, you know, how you're feeling. And I was feeling like sluggish and like I, you know, was getting up later and kind of felt low mood. And it was sort of like, well, yeah, you need to kind of get out. You need to maybe find some hobbies, find things to do, go to like a class, like meet people, pottery. Like get out. Pottery. So I went to pottery. Just trying to bring it around to me doing pottery.
I mean, this was the whole reason I asked you to do this. I just wanted to talk about pottery. Okay. Interesting. And do you find that it's helpful for like brain, like what? Being present, doing pottery?
I've only been once, so I can't really go off on how much it's changed me.
Yeah.
But I did.
Pottery changed my life.
Yeah, it's changed my life. but no, it was really nice. It was kind of like, you know, the idea of going to like a class or something, it is stressful. It's like, oh, what if I go and I'm really bad at it? Or what if I go and everyone's in groups and I'm on my own and all those different things. So I was kind of like, oh, and my therapist was like, you're going to feel like that, but you just have to go.
Yeah.
And when I went, it was really lovely. It was kind of, you know, it was pottery. It was very quiet. Yeah. People were very quiet. People were very nice. We sat, we did, you know, our wheel throwing and learned how to shape the clay and everything. And it is really, it's kind of like meditating. It was really nice. Yeah, I mean, what I made was terrible, but
that's okay. Yeah. It's doing stuff with your hands and you're like using your, you know, being present.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to do stuff like that. For us to just remember that we're not, you know, like that. I struggle so much with being present, right?
Yeah.
I'm always in the past, in the future, and like never right here in the moment. And doing things like that, or a puzzle, or like knitting, or, you know, making music, you know, and so you almost don't have a chance to be dwelling in, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel that as well, the racing thoughts and thinking about the future, thinking about the past, not really being able to just sit and be as you are now. But I think that's what I'm trying to do. I don't know if I've got there yet, but like I'm trying to do that. And also she was kind of talking about like finding your own identity. And I think I've been acting for like a really long time and it's such a hustle and, you know, you're just constantly on that one thing. So it becomes everything that you think about, everything that you talk about.
Yeah.
And then I think last year I had a bit of success. I got some jobs. Things felt a bit less like I was scrabbling because I was working. But then suddenly you're like, well, what do I actually like?
Yeah.
What am I doing that's helping myself and making me feel good? And being away, I was away for a really long time working on three films back to back. I didn't get to come home. I didn't see friends or family for a really long time. And it was really like hard because it was kind of, I wasn't really thinking about looking after myself or what I can do when I have my spare moments so that I'm thinking about me rather than thinking about the job or thinking about the character or, you know, putting everything into this one thing and letting the rest of your life sort of just be on standstill. So I'm just at the moment trying to find a balance.
Yeah, that's a journey, a great journey to be on, to focus on you. It's difficult.
Yeah,
I'm doing
the
same thing at the same time and it's horrible. You know, and it brings up, I had my well, I really like my therapist. I had a thirsty call with my therapist. No, I had my first intake call with my therapist on Friday.
How was that?
Oh man, like, you know, I don't mind saying it because, you know, I talk a lot about brain stuff in public, but I just wept for 2 hours straight. And yeah. I kept obviously being British, just apologizing for crying. It's just like, no, it's fine. Just like, this is what I'm here for. And I think it's easier to cry on Zoom than it is in person.
That's true.
So I don't know. That's what I found. It was my first ever Zoom therapy session.
Yeah.
And you know, I have trouble with OCD, and it's been flaring up quite badly in recent months. And she was just so good.
Yeah.
At talking to me about it.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like an hour call, and it went 2 hours.
What? Like... Oh my God! Shut up! Are you like best friends with your therapist? I'm like jealous. I don't get that. My therapist is like, your time's up. Get out.
I think she probably just felt very sorry for me. She was like, cancel the next session. This guy is like on the edge of a breakdown. Like, let's maybe clear the whole day. Maybe.
Oh, that's good then.
It's a tough journey to be on. You know, I'm trying to do mindfulness every day, and that's very difficult.
It's so hard.
You do the guided ones.
I mean, I don't really do meditation. I've tried in the past. I was thinking about trying again. I'm reading about DBT and doing it's dialect behavioral therapy.
I know CBT.
I don't know that much. I just started
this
on it.
New.
So yeah, I just went to like this, just doing classes out of my arse at the moment.
Great.
But I went to this DBT class, which is every week. I have one tonight. And it's a behavioral therapy, but it's to do with dialect, I imagine. I've only just started, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I know that mindfulness is part of it. So I know that's coming.
Is it about self-talk and stuff?
Yeah,
like that?
It's kind of, I mean, the class that I had, which was like, oh my God, I just hit my face with a mic. I'm like slowly going down.
You're really into DBT. Happening? It's okay. Yeah. Like, guys, I'm here. It's a pyramid scheme. Let's go.
Yeah, let me give you the course information.
That's it.
It's £500. So I just started the class, and the last thing that in the first class they talk about a lot is radical self-acceptance.
Oh yeah, I've been hearing about this.
Which I was kind of like, because my therapist has been saying things along that line of like having to really accept who you are, accept your faults, accept your flaws, and not judge yourself too harshly, which is really hard. And that doesn't mean like you can just go off and be a dick and be like, but it is like if you behave like a dick, that you're able to accept that and be like, okay, I did this thing. It's because of this, 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 and this. It's okay. That doesn't mean that I am a dick. I behaved like a dick. I don't have to do that again. But rather than like pushing it away and saying, I don't want to be like that. That's not me.
Yeah.
I want to be different. I want to be better. Yeah. Just really accepting that you are who you are, which sounds really hard. But I was like, that sounds lovely.
I mean, lovely. Yeah. Because I think the basis of a lot of stuff, I mean, the reason why we go into these creative industries is our lack of self-acceptance, our lack of self-love and self-esteem. Like, you know, obviously we come across as very confident people. You know, you're on screen, you know, stage, whatever it is. There's a core of like being so, speaking for myself, being so deeply insecure.
Yeah.
And that self-acceptance, self-love, all of that kind of stuff is the journey that I'm trying to be on, you know.
Yeah.
And my therapist was like, later on we're going to try, you know, we'll try some mirror work. And I was like, what's mirror work?
Ooh, what is mirror work?
Well, you just kind of stand in the mirror and tell yourself you love yourself.
Oh God. That sounds awful. Especially when you're in America. I think there is a kind of difference to it. And then when you get into the Britishness of just being like cringe, I can't say anything nice about myself. You've got to be self-deprecating.
But you know what? I did it. Oh. I did it. I thought, fuck it, I'm trying it. So I'm trying to do it every day.
Oh my God, maybe
and
I'll try that.
Yeah, and it's awful because like the word love terrifies me.
Yeah.
You know, accepting it, feeling like I deserve it, you know, and it's a very, very scary thing. And so now I'm trying it every day and I've got my gratefulness journal. Oh, I'm going in. I'm going in, mate.
We're so January.
It's so, right?
January.
Yeah,
we're so January right now.
So Los Angeles wankers in January. but I think it's just really, you know, hopefully people, and it's, you know, there'll be one person listening to this that won't think it's wanky and they'll give it a go themselves and maybe it'll help, you know.
Yeah. So,
but it's a very strange feeling to just go, or, you know, to accept yourself and be like, oh, I love you. You know, I love me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, how many people are in there?
Isn't it sad though? There's something so sad about it. I think I had a thing with my therapist the last time that I cried in the office was she was saying something about like, you're so hard on yourself and you really don't seem to like yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you imagine trying to be more comforting to yourself, be more kind to yourself?
Yeah,
and I like started crying and she was like, why are you crying? And I was like, because it's really sad. Like, you're right. I don't feel that way towards myself. I'm so critical and so harsh. And it feels, it's so sad when you kind of really look at it and think, fuck, like you can't do that for yourself, even though it's easy, or not always easy, but is easy to do for other people to kind of have their back and to care about them. And it's very strange.
But it also does reflect, you know, it reflects, if that's the way we feel about ourselves, then it's, for me, it snaps in the way that that's how I treat or look at other people.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
And I'm like, well, I want to be better at treating the people I love and care about with kindness. So I need to be doing that to myself.
Yeah.
So I can learn the tools to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
God damn, man. That's...
Whoa. Intense.
Whoa. Whoa. I don't know. I'm on a journey, guys. Yeah. I'm on a journey. Yeah, I give it a couple of years. I'll be a self-help guru.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
I'll have a book.
Book, a film.
Film, a film.
An album.
An album.
Guided very meditation. Very Hollywood of us. Like, we'll turn this into money quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what's the best thing about self-love? Earning money from it. Great. So can you talk about other projects?
Yeah, I can. I mean, as much as I think I've seen out there, I started the year doing a film called Psycho Killer, which is written by Andrew Kevin Walker, who wrote Seven.
Whoa.
Love them.
Wow.
And the new movie, The Killer. We did that in Canada. One of the producers from Barbarian, actually, Roy Lee, sent me the script, or sent my agent the script, which was so nice. But it was really funny because he didn't send it with like an offer or even what the character was or anything. He was just like, here's the script.
Oh.
So I was like reading it, because I was like, well, there must be a character in there that they think I could be, but I had no idea which one. So I was just going through, and like a woman would show up and I'd be like, oh, it must be her.
It's gotta
and then
be
she'd
her.
Die. And I'd be like, all right. Oh, maybe not her.
there's no idea.
And then at the end was like, well, I think it must be this character.
Right.
And it was.
Okay, good.
So that was fun. It was very dark and twisted, and
great.
It was very cold in Canada.
Yeah.
But I got to do loads of gun training for it.
Oh.
Which was pretty sick. I was surprised that I liked it quite a lot.
Yeah, because I'm a pacifist, but I've shot shotguns before and it was fucking cool.
It's really fun. We were doing like rifles and pistols and automatic weapons. And
well, like an AK-47.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I mean, it was, yeah. And then it was so funny because I had this guy who was teaching me, who was a sniper. He was in the army. He was in the police, like really cool guy. And he was giving me all the proper ways of holding the gun and the ways of moving. And he was like, you know, you're doing great. But he was like, just so you know, once you get to the film, they're probably going to ask you to do something completely different because they want it to look cool. Yeah. And we did do a scene where like I had everything like planned. I knew the how you hold yourself, hold your body, everything, the gun. Yeah. And I had to do this kind of walk through this room looking for someone, checking the whole room. And then after the first take, the director was like, can you kind of like squat and walk in really, really low? And I was like, I don't think you would in this circumstance.
Yeah.
And he was like, I just saw John Wick yesterday and he did that and it looked really good. So could you just do that? And I was like, all right.
I'd be very surprised if someone was crawling and squatting and then popped up out of nowhere from behind.
I didn't feel
like
very cool, I'll be honest.
I'd be like, oh, hey man, what's going on down there? So wait, who was in this film with you?
Was in the, Logan Miller was in it.
Great.
Who I love. It was when they were doing the casting for him because I saw him in like Escape Room, and then I saw him in something else. I can't remember, but I think he's a great actor. And they were choosing between two people, and then they said Logan Miller, and I was like, you have to you have to get him. And they were like, well, okay, we weren't right, really well, asking your opinion. Yeah, exactly. But
who let you in here?
Yeah. This is not shut up.
This is a production
and
company.
We don't even have any scenes together as well, right, so right, it wasn't right. Even like I could come in yeah. from a like, well, chemistry and blah blah blah, and I think he's a great actor. He's in a completely different part of the movie from me, but they did cast him, and,
good great.
And he's great,
great.
And then the next one I did was Cold Storm Storage, which was in Italy.
Yes.
Which was lovely. And had Liam Neeson.
Liam
in it.
Neeson. This is what I was angling at.
I know.
Stop burying the lead. So let's talk about Liam Neeson.
Yeah. He's just Liam Neeson.
What?
Through and through. He's the most Liam Neeson you would ever expect. He delivers on Liam Neeson. No he's way. Just so cool. He's the real deal. And yeah. He's just exactly how you would expect him to be. He's a great actor. Yeah. He's got great stories.
Yeah,
he was telling me about this actress that he was like trying to help get her career along, and you know, that she was going out and doing these auditions and she just couldn't get a job, and he was kind of like training her. And then at the end of the story, he goes, and that was Julia Roberts.
How does that timeline even work out?
I don't know.
I don't, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's like one of those memes where it's like Taylor Swift saw a young man at her show who couldn't afford a ticket and then bought him a ticket, and that man became Albert Einstein.
He is older than her. He's older than Julia Roberts. He's been around for a while.
Yeah, I guess he has. Yeah. I mean, look, I believe it. Believe it. So he was great.
He was great. One of the best things as well was he and this is completely understandable, but I just thought it was so funny. He was doing the job and he was there before I started, and he finished about 2 weeks after I started.
Yeah.
And you know, he's busy. He was off to his next movie. He's like working nonstop. He's really lovely, so kind to everyone. But at the last day, they were like, we're going to do this like little after kind of wrap. We've got like some food and some drinks, and it's Liam's last day. So we're going to do a little thing. Oh. And I don't think anyone told him either, really, or he just had shit to do and no one had like said before that this was going to go on. So he left at wrap.
No.
And it's like a little kind of goodbye, Liam. But it was enjoyed. So, you know, he left us that.
Oh, bless.
I know.
Bless him. He's probably pretty sad.
I mean, come on, though. He's done, like, how many movies has he done? Like, he just... at some point, you're like, it's just a job. I've got to get home, or I've got to, you know, go where I've got to go. So.
Fair. But are you feeling positive about this new year? Here we go. That's a good question. How are you feeling?
Yes, I am. I'm feeling positive about this new year. I think you've got to go into a new year feeling positive, right?
Yeah,
otherwise,
I guess so.
Otherwise, it's just going to suck. Otherwise.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I'm trying my best to figure myself out.
Well, the Chinese New Year is not yet anyway, so I like When's to think... that? I feel like that's not for a month or so.
Okay.
Right? So I feel like we've got a bit of time.
Yeah.
You know?
To fix ourselves. We've got 4 weeks.
I know. New Year, there's so much pressure when it comes to New Year. Right?
I know. And, everyone, what did you do for it?
I was DJing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. Was anyone there
There was no one that I knew when I was DJing. So I was kind of just working, which is great. It's an amazing venue, lovely staff, and, you know, a great place to be. And I was very lucky to be there. But it was just, you know, it is a bit, when at midnight comes and you're just like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in bed by... I think one.
Yeah.
This New Year's. We went to a party as well.
Whoa.
But we got there quite early. It was like a nice sort of, they'd been doing a day thing that went into a night thing. So we got there at about 7:30.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, because at the end of, you just booze so much. I feel like Christmas is like you're just drinking. Yeah. So I wasn't really in the mood, but it was nice. We saw some people.
Good.
Got a bit tipsy. We had the New Year's kiss. And then I think 5 minutes after I kissed my boyfriend, I was like, I want to go home. And he was like,
it's 12:05.
And he was like, and you wouldn't stop. You were like, because I was a little bit drunk by that point. He was like, you just kept going, I'd like to go home. So he took me home and
that's
I went
sweet.
To sleep.
That's sweet. I think the best New Year's are the ones where you're just literally... And, you know, you are asleep by one. Or the party is the day before. I remember one year, my friend Gianno's birthday is the 30th. So we used to just go out and go crazy on the 30th.
And then like good. New Year's Eve, there was just no pressure because yeah. I'm like, I already had a big
there
day.
So much pressure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what I did last year for New Year's. I can't really remember. Was I here? It's not very interesting.
I was DJing
sorry.
The same time. I think it's hard. On Instagram is obviously the devil for sure. And I've put a 1 minute limit on Instagram now.
Have you?
So
I have a 15 minute.
Yeah.
It's still too much.
15 minutes, it was me. And then last week I put it to 1 minute.
Yeah.
So that I can literally, it's so strict. I can check it, post it, and then it's locked off.
Yeah.
And then and then I have to go in and click more time, please. And then I feel like an addict.
Yeah.
Please, man, just one more minute. Just one more minute. You know, it was especially bad with everyone going, here's my year. Here's all the cool things I did this year. And yeah. and it makes it very difficult and pressure-y when it comes to, you know, the new year of going, well, fuck, what have I actually done this last year?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you start spiraling of going, oh no. Oh no, is 2024 going to be just another year?
I know, it's true. Instagram does just make you feel bad about everything. Yeah. But I guess you just can't take it too seriously, can you? You've just got to kind of switch off.
I know.
1 minute.
Is that too hard? Do you think 1 minute is too extreme?
1 minute's quite extreme.
Yeah.
But if it's
like a rush.
You know, why? Yeah. Is that worse to get your little 1 minute
yeah,
rush?
Yeah, like a 1 minute hit of Instagram and then turn it off. A lot of people now, and I've done it before, is just take the app off your phone entirely.
Yeah.
And then you have to look at it on the desktop. And therefore, you kind of don't because you're like, oh, what a mission to look at this on the bloody desktop.
It's quite weird though. I have like certain people that I talk to on Instagram Messenger. Like I speak to our friend Holly a lot on Instagram.
And
it'll
like,
be like, I'll be on
number.
WhatsApp and then I'll be on Instagram talking to her. It's like both at the same time. But
yeah, you have my number. Just call me.
I know. But I have like so many friends like that you just end up chatting on Instagram, which is kind of annoying because you have to get through Instagram to talk to them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to go on Instagram because it's going to make me feel like shit. But you're like, I've got to get on there to get to the messages.
But that's why the 15 minute limit is good.
Yes. Aren't we all such losers? Like we're adults.
Yeah, but we're adults that are talking about this. Yeah, but we're adults that grew up in a really weird time.
I know, that's true.
You know, a bit before like, do you remember the internet happening?
Yeah, I remember. I remember like having internet, but we didn't have it. When did we didn't have it? I can remember when we got it.
Yeah,
we got it probably when I went to secondary school.
Right,
we got the internet.
Yeah,
properly. Before that, we had like a computer, but it didn't have the internet on it.
Yeah, was it like an Amstrad or something?
Oh my god, I can't remember what it was, but it was shit.
Yeah,
And then like one of my friends would have it. So I would go to their house and go on like, I don't know, Habbo Hotel or go on like that. What was the webcam casino thing or whatever
it was? Oh, Chat Roulette.
What a grandma. Isn't Chat Roulette back in vogue? Like people do that now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They like that shit now.
Oh, God.
It's because they want the danger of or the, you know, we used to have message boards and stuff like that and chat rooms.
Yeah.
And kids don't really have that kind of fun anymore.
I guess so.
Here's the hip hop message board, and then you're chatting to random people.
But then it would always end up perverted. Like, I mean, Chat Roulette, pervert.
Yeah, all perverts. I was always too afraid to do it. I never did it. I was like,
It's not good.
I don't want to see dicks. Yeah. I just don't want
to. Me and my teenage girlfriends are like,
this is hilarious. No, they're predators.
Yes. Feels different now looking back on it.
Yeah, they're predators. Whoa. Yeah, I do kind of miss that day, the days of the scarcity of the internet. Like, I remember going on and lego.com. My first ever website.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, good. And it was in my auntie's house. She had the internet.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so it was like a really big, big thing.
It was a good time. Coming home after school to go on like chat or, you know, MS or whatever it was.
MSN Messenger.
MSN Messenger. There you go.
I watched a whole video of someone like, I think Asim posted it or something where it was just a video of someone logging into Windows 95 and then opening MSN with all the sounds.
Yeah.
And like things popping up and then like little, and then I think it was eMagic or like whatever I can't remember what it was called, like the old MP3 player we used to have.
Oh yeah.
On Windows.
Yeah.
And then opening Napster.
Oh my God. Nostalgia.
And I just found myself like so emotional watching this shit. You know, I'm in an emotional period of my life. But God damn, like hearing the MSN Messenger things pop up.
Yeah, that's something to you.
And you remember that feeling, that adrenaline rush of like, it's popped up, they're online.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
And it was so kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people's weird names.
Yeah, it's not as sweet now.
No, I liked MSN.
I know, MSN was good. MySpace.
Just, MySpace.
Bebo.
Good. I never used Bebo.
I don't think, I must have used Bebo, maybe.
Like, but I never used BlackBerry Messenger.
Oh, neither did I, but I did have a friend that had a BlackBerry, and everyone was like, oh my God, wow.
Seemed like quite an intense typey situation
that I didn't understand.
So many small buttons.
Yeah, one of my friends had a BlackBerry up until I think our second year of university, which is too old to have a BlackBerry.
Too old, yeah.
Yeah. He was still holding on to it. Yeah. They'd definitely gone broke by that point, I think. But
yeah, there was no charger.
Yeah.
There was no support line for the tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, where did you go to university? What?
I went to Royal Holloway.
Oh, I think I asked you about this last time. I know of it just because the pictures, because it looks so cool.
It is. It's really cool, but they lie to you. They say that it's a University of London.
Mm.
And when I went there, I was panicking. It was like that I didn't go straight to uni from secondary school because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I was like acting, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to go to uni or not.
Yeah.
And then they were about to change the price. So it was about to triple, you know, when it went from like $3,000 a year to being $9,000 a year.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I don't go to uni, I'm never going because I'm not paying $9,000 a year. So I was like, shit, what do I do? So I applied to a few places to do film, and then got into Royal Holloway, didn't look around, didn't know where it was, saw that it was University of London. I was like, oh, great, it'll be like London.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near London. It's in Egham, which is near Windsor.
Yeah, that's far.
Yeah, it's far.
But it looks cool.
It is cool. It's very like...
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Yeah. Yeah, very Harry Potter. Like, there's a very old building, and it was one of the first, I think, female-only universities in the UK. Obviously, it's not now. But, then I just did a master's.
Did you?
Yeah.
What
am I like?
When did you do a master's and what in?
I did a master's. I haven't really told many people about it because I'm so embarrassed about it, which is so ridiculous.
This is great.
But I did a master's in screenwriting.
Oh, shit.
Because I tried to write a script during COVID because everyone was panicking.
Of course.
You remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm an actor. Yeah. I can't do anything else. I can't act right now.
Yeah.
What is my life? Mm. What am I going to do? So then I thought, I've always been interested in writing. I've done these like film courses in the past. So I was like, I'll try and write something. Wrote something, sent it to my agent.
Yeah.
And they were like, this needs a lot of work. Right. I was like, oh, shit, this is harder than I thought. So I applied to do a master's at Birkbeck in London.
Yeah.
During COVID, during the panic. And then it was so funny, actually, because the course started, it was a 2-year part-time, but it started just when the industry came back.
Oh.
So I had to go back to work. So I like booked this thing being like, I'm probably not going to be working for another year or whatever. Like everything shut down. And then the show came back. So I had to do it alongside the show. But luckily, because of COVID, everything was online. So everyone else was annoyed that we didn't have in-person classes. Yeah. And I was secretly like, yes.
Good.
I'm so glad.
But then how
online.
Did you juggle that? Because you know, a master's is not light work.
No, it was just figuring it out, really. Like I kind of... was doing the classes, you know, sometimes I would miss a couple, but sometimes I would be doing them like, luckily I was working in the UK. So we were doing similar work hours to the reason people do part-time masters is because they're at work.
Yeah.
So there would be evening classes.
Yeah.
So I would usually be like doing the evening class while I was like in a car on my way home from set.
That's
or I'd
cool.
just get home and I'd do the class. And then the first year was, you know, less things to do really because you're kind of just starting the course. And then the second year is when you really get into writing your final feature film and all that stuff. So I had a bit of time kind of between that job and another job where I kind of was able to spend a bit more time on it.
It's impressive.
It was, I guess I'm like surprised I managed to get through it once work started back up, but I'm glad I did. But now I'm sort of, I guess it's that thing of going back to being kind of unsure of yourself and low self-esteem.
Yeah.
I did well on the course. Great. I got a distinction.
Oh, what?
It's what does that really mean?
Yeah.
But then suddenly being like, oh, okay, do you want to write something? Mm. Like, are you going to write something? Mm-hmm. Are you going to write a movie? Are you going to try? Mm. It felt really like overwhelming to be like, oh God. Like,
but you wrote a feature for the
I
masters.
I did, but I hate it.
Okay.
Which was a good lesson, or at least pushing an idea to its limit. Because I had the idea, I wrote the outline. Mm. And to be honest, the more I was like thinking on it, the more it didn't make any sense to me anymore, like the actual construct of the film and what the film was about. But I had to meet a deadline, so I couldn't throw it out. I had to keep going. So I did, and it was fine. It went well. But I personally, just by the end of it, was like, I don't like this. Yeah. This isn't saying anything
because it was on a course that had things you had to hit. Did you then have to follow like film, like script writing guidelines of doing like the hero's journey and like different, you know, acts and kind of stuff like that?
Yeah, to an extent you do have to. They're not that harsh about it. But you, as you're learning, it kind of is already in you, to be honest. They say that, but if you've like watched movies or, you know, in my case, I've watched a lot of movies, I read a lot of scripts. Mm. You actually kind of do know where things usually come. You just haven't put a word to it. So once you start dissecting it, you're like, oh, of course, on you know, page 10 or 10 minutes in, you have the inciting incident. Something goes wrong. Something big happens that's going to turn everything around. And then, you know, you get to page 30 and you're going into your second act and blah, blah, blah. So, but when you start writing, you realize that you kind of flow into that anyway.
Yeah.
Because telling stories is quite natural to people. So you kind of know the formula without knowing it.
This is interesting to hear because I just finished writing my feature.
Oh, amazing.
Which is scary. I've been meaning to write it for 10 years and then I just went in.
Yeah.
And then I finished the first draft and it was 140 pages and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And then like my wisdom council of people were like, I'm not reading it till it's 99.
Yeah, that's good though. It's good to like have a first draft that's like bulky and then you can start.
And then condense it. Yeah. And so I got it down to 99. And now I've sent it to a few people this weekend just to give me notes on the first thing.
Oh my God, well, send it to me.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, yeah. I'd love to see what you think because it is, I mean, I probably told you, but I'll tell you about the idea afterwards. God knows if I'm doing the page 10 thing. God knows if I'm doing the page 30, whatever. Like, and I'm intrigued to see what they are. Yeah.
Around about. Yeah. And also there's like plenty of people. I just worked with a really brilliant screenwriter, Teresa Sutherland. And she has written on, she was on Midnight Mass and what else? She did a film called The Wind that premiered at TIFF. Mm. And she is an amazing writer and she doesn't follow anything.
Wow.
She doesn't. Like we were talking about, because I was working with her. We did a film together that she wrote and directed. And I was talking about my course and I was talking about structuring and stuff. And she was like, yeah, I just don't bother with any of that stuff.
That's so good.
So I think it just depends who you are. And like she's very talented and writes in her own way and it is a creative form. So there are ways in any kind of creative form where you can follow guidelines and that really helps or you just completely throw them away. Yeah. But normally, I guess if you at least kind of know them, it's easier to throw them off and do your own thing.
That's right. Yeah. You know, we have a unique voice and a unique story to tell. So we've got to tell it.
Yeah.
You know, and tell it in our own weird way that might be... Maybe the industry doesn't, you know, but
I think in acting, I'm so used to, obviously my feelings get hurt, but you get used to people being direct, people telling you you've done something wrong, people telling you they don't like your style of acting or whatever. You don't get the job, someone doesn't think you're as good as someone else does, but you kind of get used to it and you get quite a thick skin. But when I went and did the course for writing, oh my God. But the day before we were doing the, you know, we'd had hand something in and everyone was going to give their opinions. I was like a neurotic mess. My boyfriend was like, It's not a big deal. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you've been on like huge sets with these people, you know, and you're upset because you're doing a class. And some of the people in the class might say they don't like your writing. And the first few times, it was really hard to like swallow down that feeling in your throat where you're like, oh my God, everyone thinks I'm dumb. Everyone thinks I'm stupid. Maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe I'm, you know, but you have to ride through it.
Because it triggers the first day at school stuff or like school exam stuff, of course.
Yeah.
You know, that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
I went to watch, my friend was doing a panel on note-taking with like a woman, I think showrunner from Severance and a bunch of different shows. And the guy that wrote the first Charlie's Angels and stuff like that was on the panel. It was really, really interesting. And it was good for me just to watch and they were just like talking about notes and putting your pride aside and all of this kind of stuff. And so I'm learning, because it's a new career or, you know, thing that, that I'm exploring, I'm learning how to put aside pride to get something over the line. And,
yes.
And I've been saying that so much in terms of music stuff. You know, I just did a pitch, made a song with an incredible songwriter the other week for that we're pitching to a very big, it was like an acoustic guitar song that I wrote, I'm singing on it. Taking notes like that in the movie kind of side of things is helping me be better at taking notes in my music in terms of, I just want to sell this song to this TV show.
Yeah.
I just want to get done and made and like out there.
Yeah.
And I think the pride used to be a lot stronger. You know? I think as long as with scripts, as long as the story is the same overall, then it really doesn't matter about the like every single witty quip.
Right.
A lot of those witty quips aren't going to translate anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
And there might be, as you know very well, there might be a line that's just, but it's so funny because someone says it in a funny way.
Yes. Yeah, 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 definitely.
So you don't need a witty fucking forced quip.
You have to be so I guess like just, you know, making things, you have to be so, it's like, I mean, it's such a cliche and so cringe, but you have to be like, I can fail, like I can do it badly and it's okay. And especially writing, I feel like they always say the first, you know, draft is like a vomit draft. It's like you get everything out, it's going to be a mess, it's not going to be the best thing ever, and then you slowly kind of work on it and create this thing. But it's very hard to push yourself to do that first thing that you know is not going to be what you want it to be.
Definitely. I just recommend everyone bloody do it. Like, that's so good that you did. It's about having the confidence in yourself to tell a story. And even if it's just for you, even if it never gets made, like it's such an important, you know, thing. And you feel so proud of yourself as well. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, it is.
Well, look, we've got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff. I'll happily talk to you for another hour, but I know you have important life things to do. You have important things to do.
Pottery
to do. But no, thank you so much. And I think, you know, we can just do it whenever. We can just do like 300 episodes of this if you want. You can just come for a chat. And
sounds great.
You could just take over the podcast. I don't have to be on it. Like, you can just do it.
I'll just come to your house and talk.
Yeah. This is like, I'm so lax with my podcast. This is actually episode 49.
Is it?
So the next one is episode 50.
Who's on the next one?
I don't know. I don't even know. I'm so lax, you know. I just do it with people now that are my friends or people that I really just like want to have a chat with, you know.
Nice.
And but I don't know. Mm. I've been thinking a lot. Maybe I should just do a solo. Like, I should just write an essay and just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do a peaceful celebration by myself of 50 episodes.
Do a reading of your script and all the different characters, all the different voices.
Yeah. See what notes you get back. 134 page one.
Yeah.
Just for a nice short podcast. Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess we'll see. I guess listeners at home will see what I, you know, rustle up for episode 50. I don't know. I'm going to think on that.
Yeah.
But either way, thank you for being episode 49.
Yeah, thank
you. And being a returning guest. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That was fantastic. Thank you so much to Georgina Campbell, the legend. Go watch Barbarian if you haven't already, because it shit me the fuck up. It was too scary. Too scary. Horror films, you know, I'm too creative in my mind for horror films. I think too much about, you know, how monsters got there and like, you know, I go into a bit of a deep dive mentally of their motivations, you know? What were they like growing up? What do they like to eat? You know, they're kind of, well, clearly humans, I guess. So next episode, episode 50, we're going to see what happens. Thank you so much for listening.
keep subscribing. I promise there will be more coming eventually in the cool, present, calm way that I release the episodes. And go stream my music. It is online. There's a new single. It's called Protect My. It's featuring Hollis. It's great, man. I'm probably even playing the instrumental to it right now. I haven't done it yet, but I reckon you hearing my voice right now, you're hearing the instrumental. That's, I'd put money on it. All right, guys. So be very kind to yourselves. If you've got a voice in your head bullying you, listen to it, observe it, and show it love.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.